this wonderful, incredible Sunday morning, Father God. We come together and to worship you today. And Lord God, glorify you, Father God, for who you are, Lord God. I ask you, Father God, that you will touch us, Lord God. You will move upon us, Father God. You will speak to us, Father God, in the name of the Lord God. God, we love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's all sit down, please. Praise God. Praise God. So good to see you guys and in the Sunday morning. It's wonderful to share the word of God with you guys, what the Lord has spoken to in my heart. As some of you guys know that I just came back from Washington, D.C., buried my dad. My dad had passed away, good age of 90. Incredible things about my dad. Legacy was my dad was a president of a Buddhist society in Washington, D.C., in among Korean society. 30 years ago, no, actually 25 years ago or so. I'm sorry, 35 years ago or so. And then the Lord performed a miracle upon his life 30 years ago or so, and God changed him and came bring him to the Lord. And so my dad did not die as a Buddhist, but my dad died and resurrected as a Christian, and he's right now shouting on the other side of the grave, and he is waiting for me to come there. And I am excited one day that I'm going to join him there. You know, our life is so meaningless. It does not matter how much money you have. When I go back to my Washington, D.C., you know, all my siblings are millionaires. I never told you guys this, right? Yeah, they are, actually. My sister, who never graduated from high school, she doesn't have a high school diploma. She'd probably kill me if I tell her that I said it in front of all you guys. She actually built a factory to remodeling homes and all that. She actually have a company that she runs, and she have tons of money that she actually has. My second sister, actually, she's a mortgage processor, and then she invested on Tesla, and then Tesla jump up so much that she said she don't know what to do with all the money that she has. My brother works for the State Department and also a cybersecurity, and so he has all those jobs and all those monies that God. But you know, when my dad passed away, they start to see the reality of death. When you have your close loved one like that passed away, you realize we are going to die one day. You know, I sent some of the pictures of my dad when he was really young, holding me as a little baby. And then now he was 90 years old and passed away. And I couldn't believe that really happened. But that's the reality of our life. And that's what's going to happen if you don't have Christ in our life. But because my dad had Jesus in his life and served the Lord for 30 years, I didn't have dark, gloomy funerals when I was there in Washington, D.C. But I said to the pastors, and I say all those, my disciples, 70% of them who came was my disciples. And I told them, I said, don't wear black coat. Don't wear black, because that's what they do in mainland, right? And a black color coat or cloth. I want you to wear a colorful cloth. And we're going to celebrate my death home going unto Jesus Christ. And that's what we did. We celebrated him, his life that he lived, and the life that he will live for the Lord, for eternity in heaven. And that's what we did. And that's what's waiting for us. You know, when we know Jesus, we have that hope. We have that the greater things that it is waiting for us in our hearts and our life. Amen? Amen. So, you know, so I came, went there. I was sad that I cannot see my dad anymore. But I was excited and in a way that one day that I'm going to have a reunion with my dad and my mom. She's there 30 years ago, and we're going to have incredible reunion. You know, whenever we come to church on Sunday, we are practicing that reunion. You know that? We come together, and we are having a reunion to one another, saying, hey, brother and sister, so good to see you. And one day, we're going to spend our eternity together. Do you guys know that? So when you look at each other, I want you guys to learn to forgive, learn to love, because you're going to spend our eternity with each other. You guys know that? So you guys are like, hey, you know, I want you guys to look at each other right now. Okay? Right now, come on. Person next to you. Come on. Under the next to you. Come on. All right? He said, hey, so I want you to follow what I say. Okay? Look at the person. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at the person next to you. And he says, you are not my enemy. You are my brother. And you are my sister in Jesus. And I love you. And I'm looking forward to spend eternity with you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you. You are so incredible. Without you, where can we go? What can we do? Our life will be so meaningless. I've seen so many of us, Lord God, my sister, my brother who have so much money. Lord God, and my sister realized, I need Jesus. I need to come back to God. My brother's backslidden, but he was so lonely in spite of all the prestige and all the money that he has. And I'm praying for him, Lord God. And God, without you, there is nothing. With you, we have everything. And I ask you, Lord God, that you will touch us, you will move upon us, and you will speak to us today, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for our congregation. We thank you for our brother and sister who are here today. We thank you, Father God, brother, Lord God, you are sending Loki, Father God, temporarily. You are sending her for her to be a light for the Navy. Lord God, so they may know, some of them who be contact with Loki, so they may have chance to know Jesus. And Lord God, through her mouth, her action, Lord God, through Lord God, her presence, Lord God, you're going to use her to be your great Lord, witness for Jesus Christ. May you use her, Lord, touch her. May all the people, Father God, and especially the people, her bosses, Father God, will be impressed and touched by the incredible things that she's able to do through you in that military, Father God. We love you, God. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. My scripture today is going to be Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to just read two verses, but I'm going to read the whole passages that I'm going to actually preach about. And so I'm going to go through the passage. But before that, I'm going to highlight the two passages in chapter 14, verse 28. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 28 and 29, okay? It says this, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. This is Jesus. Then Peter go down out of the boat, walk on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cry out, Lord, save me. Immediately, verse 31, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Amen. You know, this is a very famous story about Jesus, that Jesus walking on the water. Now, I wanted to tell you something. As I talk about this very story about the Jesus walk on the water, I want you guys to understand and know, I mean, maybe I ask you guys the question, did Jesus always walk on the water? Why he was on this earth? Or did he use the boat? What was that? Did he always use to walk on the water? or most of the time that he walked, he rode the boat. Which one is it? Yeah, he was on the boat most of the times, right? He only used the supernatural power when he needed to, not all the time that he used the supernatural power to walk on the water. We have to understand that Jesus was very human as much as he was great God. When he was on this earth, he was what? He showed us as an example how to be a perfect man, to walk as a spirit-filled man, to follow Jesus, follow God. And that's what Jesus did. And so I want you guys to understand and know that Jesus didn't just always walk on the water, but he did what he's supposed to do as a human being. He rode a boat. He did what he's supposed to do as when he wake up and he, you know, he did the things that he's supposed to do. He went to the bathroom. It's just like what we did. And he did all those things as a human being supposed to do. You know, as a human being, we have a thing called responsibility. Amen? Sometimes as a Christian, we thought we don't have to do some of the responsibility. Yes, we do. Because God gave us the what? Human bodies. And when God gave us the human bodies, then we have to take care of our bodies and to do the things what we're supposed to do in human parts. What did Jesus say? God gave us the greatest commandment. What was the greatest commandment, guys? Anybody know the greatest commandment that Jesus called it? Putting all the commandments together from the Old Testament and New Testament. Come on. I'm a Bible teacher, so I'm going to give you I should have brought some gift. Maybe it's to motivate you guys to do this. All right. I'll give you a rain check. Okay, rain check. Okay, all right. All right. So, what was the greatest commandment that Jesus quoted in the New Testament? Putting all Old and New Testament together. Okay, pastors, all the pastors, be silent. Just the congregations, okay? What is the greatest commandment that God talked about? Love God what? Love God with all your heart. Okay, heart means spirit. It means spirit, okay? It linked to spirit. And then what was the second one? All your mind, soul, right? And what's the last one? Strength, which is physical body. So when we love God, we don't just love God. We think as a Christian, especially Pentecostal preacher, Pentecostal Christian, say, oh, thus said the Lord, the Spirit. Yes, we got to move in the Holy Spirit. But we also need to study the Bible. We need to understand the apologetics. We start to understand the things what the Bible said. And so we need to study with our mind. And able to articulate the things that what we believe in to the people around us. And at the same time, we need to love God with our body, our strength. Do you know how many times in the New Testament that actually talks about that you need to love the Lord and do not desecrate our body? It's very important for us to take care of our bodies. You guys know that? And that's very important for us to know. You know, it was the first time in a long time that I actually had a chance to eat right beside Pastor Darren. That was the revelational. My gosh. The man only, I don't know how he survived. He only eat most pickiest person I have never seen in my life. Debbie, how long you been married to him? Oh my gosh. How did you survive? No, I'm just kidding. But one of the things that I see is that he realized, I think most of the time, I'm sure Debbie knows better than I do, that he will know what his body needs and only takes the things that his body needs and what's best for him. I think that's very important for us to do that. It's very important for us to really take care of our body, not eating something and exercise regularly. And when you look at Jesus, Jesus wasn't just supernatural all the time. He didn't just, walk on the water all the time. He didn't just heal a person all the time. But you know what? He rode a boat. He walked hours with people around them. He didn't just perform miracle, but he did the, what the natural things he's supposed to do and did the responsibility as a human being. Amen. And you know what? As a Christian, we need to learn to have that common sense to really, yes, pray for someone and believe in supernatural. But at the same time, we need to do what we're supposed to do as what human beings are supposed to do. And you know, when we deal with people, love them, take care of them as best we can, you know, it's humanly possible. And then we could pray for them afterwards. And so you see Jesus here walk on the water, perform this miracle. But why did he perform this miracle? Let's talk about that and look at the context. And verse 22, he said, immediately Jesus made the disciple get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went onto the mountain by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Now, what was the whole background that he's talking about? Well, he just fed the 5,000. He had a great revival. Miracle happens. Can you guys imagine that? Like, he only used two fishes and five loaves of bread. And through that, he was able to feed 5,000 people. And you have to understand, way the Jewish people count back then is they only count the men. So if only men are 5,000, that means there is a woman and some of the children were there. They most likely about well over 10,000 people were there. And Jesus was able to feed them. Wow, awesome miracle. And after that miracle, what did he do? When awesome things that happened, when the revival happened, what did Jesus do? What was his reaction? Well, Jesus said, all the disciples, go. Cross this river, lake, and I'm going to go up to the mountain and pray. One of the great things that we need to learn how to do is that when we have a great victory in our spiritual life, we got to learn how to continuously pray so we could walk from grace to grace. Amen? We don't stop praying and we just celebrating. No, we need to be on guard and we need to be on guard and say, start praying and seeking the Lord, and that we do not disconnect our relationship with God just because I just had incredible miracle and signs and wonders just went through. No, we are continuing to push on. And so we're going to start from from victory and to end with the victory. A lot of times this is what we do. You know, the greatest temptation or greatest time, the weakest time for the preacher is a Monday. We had an incredible Sunday. God was moving. Power of God happened. You know, people, we were able to counsel someone. It's like, wow, you know, they person come out of the addiction and all those things were happening. And Monday happens. I said, I'm so tired. I don't want to pray anymore. When those things happen, that's when the Satan starts to step in. Bible said, Paul say this, is that do not give a foothold to the devil. It's very important for us to learn that. This is called spiritual discipline. That we need to learn how to have a spiritual discipline to learn continuously from work from one victory to another. And so here's Jesus, went up to the mountain soon after. Can you imagine dealing with 10,000 people? If you do all those, I'm sure Jesus was tired. I'm sure he was hungry. I'm sure all those things were going on. But you know what? He had a spiritual discipline enough to go up to the mountain, and he prayed. You have to understand Jesus was what? He's a born of the virgin, and he did not commit any sin or born with any sin. The man, Jesus, do not have to confess any sin to God. But Jesus, nevertheless, went up to the mountain and had a continuous relationship with God himself. Wow. How important it is for us to continually pray and seek the face of God. Amen? You know, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, come to church on Sunday is just one minimal thing that you do. If you're a Christian, if you have Jesus in your life, you shouldn't just come to church once a week. This church is always open. You should always come. We have Tuesday intercessory prayer. We have Wednesday night prayer. We have Sunday morning prayer. We should come and we join in. And we should continuously seek God and continuously ask God for the things for the things that are around us. And say, God, touch my heart. Help me to go closer to you. Help me to know you more. That should be our goal continuously in our hearts and our life. And so when that happened, that's what Jesus did. That's why Jesus was always victorious, always in tune with God. And so when he was praying, he sent something. So he sent out his disciples out into the water. I don't know why. Why didn't he ask them to join him with a prayer? But you have to understand, these guys are professional fishermen, which means they know how to deal with, you know, the storms. So they are in the water, but something happened. Storm was coming, and wind was, and they didn't know what was going on. And when you look at the other gospel actually talks about they were in danger, and they don't know what's going on. And here, Jesus sent something, and Jesus, when he sent something, he started to walk on the water. I think that he ran on the water, and he started going after the situation, what's going on with disciples. I want you guys to understand, guys. God is always with us. Amen? It does not matter what kind of situation that we are in. He is always sensing us what's going on. You don't think that God doesn't care? Yes, he does. He is always talking to us, and he was always want to hear us. And when all those disciples were saying, oh my goodness, we need help. And here's Jesus walking in the dark. Yeah, you got to imagine this thing. Okay, back then, it's windy, middle of the water. There is no light there. And pitch dark. And here's somebody walking on the water. And here is a disciple. They got wind everywhere. They're about to like collapsing. And here's somebody's walking on the water. How do you think that they would look at it? I go, oh my God, what is that? Can you guys imagine? It's the ghost. Yes, I would say the same thing. It's Jesus coming. It's like, wow. It's like, you can't see his face. You only see the shape of that person. He was like, that's a ghost. Ah! And Jesus said, hey, fear not. Don't worry, guys. It's me. It's me. I want you guys to understand. That's one of the greatest words that Jesus ever said throughout the whole Bible. Jesus and angels, whenever they come. And Jesus goes, fear not. You know why? You don't have to fear death. Why? You don't have to fear sickness. Why? Because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to heal you. You're going to be resurrected. I will take care of you. God, I don't have money. I will take care. I will provide for you. I look back my life. When I went to Washington, D.C., I have so many friends. I got so many disciples, so many people. And I look back. The time that I went through, just came out of the Bible college, came to Washington, D.C., just lost my mom. And I had no money. I had no job at the time. I had no place to go. But God said, just go. And when I went, God provided everything. God led me. God touched me. And I look back and I saw all those kids. The life used to be broken. They didn't know Jesus. They had a rebellious told their parents. They have so many stories in their hearts, in their life. But they came to my youth group. And somehow God touched them one by one. And they all came, passed home. Thank you so much for you came to our life and shared the gospel with us. God provided it all. God provide for the purpose for me to live, to survive in my life. And I said, Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And here is, when you look at Jesus, he says this. So when Jesus came, the walking on the water, everybody was scared. They didn't know what to do. And then here is a person named Peter. You guys know Peter, right? Right? I tell the people all the time, I say, he must be Korean, you know. He somehow, somewhere along the way, you know, he kind of evolved to be a Jew. But, you know, he must be Korean, you know. He's not fearful for anything. But he always says something too fast, and he have to pay for it later down the road, right? That's Peter, right? And so I kind of like, you know, connect with him, Peter. And then Peter say this, among all those guys, right? Peter said, Jesus, I see you are walking on the water. He said, can I go and walk with you? Wow. Now, let me stop and talk about faith here, okay? All those disciples, they're going through something right now, and they look at Jesus walking on the water. What do they respond? They say, oh, okay, that's Jesus. Oh, awesome. But you know what true faith is? True faith is not just look at what Jesus is doing and saying that, oh, okay, I think that's good. Okay, you come to church and you see all those men of God and God is using some of the people and you say like, oh, that's pretty good. But you know what? I believe in Jesus mentally. I believe in Jesus intellectually. But let me just sit in the pew or just a little bit more and just, you know, maybe I could think about Jesus, but that's far as I want to do. That's not faith. I'm sorry. That's not faith. Bible say even the demons and devil have that kind of faith. They say they believe in it and they tremble. That's what the Bible said. But you know what true faith is? You get out of your pew and you join in. Amen? And say, Pastor Wong, when Pastor Deborah said, hey, can you join in for the worship? Can you open up the service today? I can't. I don't know how to speak. I never speak for anybody. So what? Hey, that's what Moses said to God. He said, God, I don't know how to speak. He said, are you serious, man? That's what God didn't say it directly in that direction, but let me paraphrase what God said. Are you serious, man? I made the mouth. I know, and here, when I tell you to do something, if you do it, I will help you out. Who do you think I am? I'm God. Isn't that right? Who created this whole world? And if I get involved with your life, I could make you do almost anything. Amen? Do you guys know that? I'm probably the least person. If you saw me when I was a teenage years, before I accept Jesus, I'm probably the least person I'll be a preacher. I hate to come in front of people and speak. There's no way. You know what I used to do? 5 hours a day, I love to watch TV. I come home, I watch TV. I go down deep in my basement. That is my home, my room. And I read comic books all day long. And I sleep. That's all I did all my teenage years until Jesus got hold of me. My mom knew that. I was like, this kid so shy, he doesn't want to do anything, so inactive. My mom didn't know what to do until somebody told me about Jesus, and my whole life changed. And when Jesus came into my life, and at the age of 16 in my high school year, I couldn't stop my mouth but tell people about Jesus. You know, when I go to Washington, D.C., I have my friends who are my high school buddies. He said, I remember you, Jacob. When you got saved, man, you were so scary. Because I didn't know anything about Jesus, you always tell me, say, hey, you need to come to Jesus. You stop going to those dance parties. You start drinking. You need to come to Jesus. You know, that I got saved because of that. And then after that, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you got more scary. Because every time that you sit beside me, say, hey, did you receive baptism in the Holy Spirit yet? Did you speak in tongues yet? And all the kids start to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. Why? Because Jesus came into my life. When Jesus came into my life, real faith came into my life. I couldn't help it but jump up and down and tell people about Jesus Christ. Guys, when Peter saw Jesus, he didn't just stay in the boat. He didn't say, he said, I'm gonna have a venture. I'm going to get out of this boat. If Jesus can walk on that water, I'm sure he could make me able to walk on this water. Amen? Can we do that? Guys, I go to Mexico, Thailand, Japan, Korea every year. Can you guys join me? Can we jump out of this comfortable DOF boat and jump out over here and walk with me to those the old vast ocean of the land where Jesus said, come, let's do something together to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Can we do that? Oh, you guys are so comfortable in Hawaii. I tell you. Oh, my gosh. I face this catch every day. I say, what do you guys want to do? It's like, what college you guys go? Oh, I'll go to UH. UH! Go somewhere in Virginia. Go somewhere in Maine. We live in a great country. We got 50 different states. Go to Alaska somewhere. Come on, guys. Experience. Okay? What God can do through your life. Oh, Pastor Hong, you know, we don't have money. Guys, we have thing called army, military. They will, if you join them, like part-time, they will give you. You guys know that if you join National Guard somewhere, it's a state that you want to go to, they give you in-state tuition. Did you know that? Now I'm telling you now, okay? Okay? When I was in Louisiana, I was in National Guard, and some of the kids who was in National Guard, they joined because they don't have to pay in-state tuition. And plus, if you're in LSU, Louisiana State University, they actually waive your tuition because you're in National Guard. Wow, we live in a great nation. If you said you don't have money and because of that you couldn't go to college, you're lying because you live in the greatest country in the world. I know Joe Biden was tried to destroy it for 4 years, but we're still the strongest country in the world. Amen? And then we got the Trump back in the line. We will become the greatest nation in the world. Again, amen. And we're going to do some damage to this kingdom of darkness for the last moment before we go away. Amen? And that's the reason why I'm boasting about that. Guys, it's time for us to get out of that boat. And here is Jesus walking on the water. Did you hear? All those disciples didn't say a thing. They said, oh, that's Jesus. And Peter is the only one who said, Jesus, can I get out? And can I walk with you? What did Jesus say? One word. Jesus got to be a guy. You know that? He doesn't want to talk too much. Right? He's the girls, they probably say it so many different ways. But Jesus just have to say one word. Come. That's it. And you know what we need to do? Just hear what he say and obey. That's what faith is. If you have a true faith, you know what true faith is? You don't just sit and watch. True faith is you participate and you say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you say you want me to do. And you obey. And when you start, you say obey, then you start to feel and experience what God will do it through you. What we call it, that's called supernatural. That's what called miracles, signs and wonders. And that's what we call testimony. I have something to talk about what Jesus have done in my life. Amen? Come on, guys. We live one life. Okay? Do not believe what Hindu said. They say our life will get recycled. No, no, no. Our life will not get recycled. Okay? We will not get reincarnated. You know, you guys know, you know, after my I buried my dad, on the way here, there was an Indian lady sitting beside me. I said, like, oh, okay, it's time for me to experiment some of the things I learned. So I talked to her, you know, I said, hey, where do you live? I said, I live in Iowa. I said, oh, Indian person live in Iowa? There is, you know, and he goes, yeah. I said, yeah, what do you do? And she said, like, oh, you know, I work for this, the UN. I said, really? For what? Oh, to help out these poor people. Really? And I, something clicked on me. I said, oh, really? Are you a Christian or are you a Hindu? I said, oh, I'm Hindu. So you believe in karma, right? Oh, yeah, of course I do. So you are actually for working for UN, actually helping out those poor people, you are actually going against your religion. Isn't that right? And she goes like, oh. So according to karma, if you help out any of the people, any poor people, orphans in the present life, you are actually harming them because they are going through all this suffering right now in this present life. Because they did something bad on the past life, so they're paying for it by suffering in the present life. So if you help them, you're actually harming them not to live a good life in the next life. So because of that, you're actually harming them. So you're not supposed to work for UN. And she goes like, I'm a Hindu, but I don't really, you are right, but you, I don't really believe it like that, you know? So what do you believe it like? And she said, oh, I believe, you know, one God. And I said, might as well you come to Christianity. What do you think? I could pray for you right now. And she goes like, oh, I have a friend like you, you know, but, you know, I was like, let me think about it a little more. Guys, I want you guys to understand, no. Jesus is the only way to heaven, and Bible say it's once it appointed man to die once. Once? You die once. And then after that, there will be a judgment. I cannot be any more clear than that. Amen? And so you got to make a choice. Right now. Because you're not going to have a recycled life, next life, and you're going to have this and that. No. You're going to be stand before God, and Jesus is going to say, God's going to ask you, he say, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? When I had a chance for you to hear the gospel. Some of you guys are here. I don't know, maybe some of you guys are here by accident. I don't know if it's accident or not. I know it's not accident because God brought you here. And you're hearing this gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you're hearing this gospel, you are responsible now. You're responsible. And God's going to ask you one day. He said, what did you, how did you respond to that message that I let you have a chance to hear? And here is Peter asking Jesus. And you know what? I remember the verse that he talks about in the book of Mark when those four friends carried the paralyzed man. And he couldn't go through the crowd, so he went through the roof. And so they could be touched by Jesus. You know what in that passage said? When they are bringing down that paralyzed man, this is what the very passage said. It said, Jesus saw their faith. Did you know that if you have true faith, you can see it? It can be demonstrated. When I look at some of you guys, love God, come here and say, God, you have Jesus in your life. I could see it. You do. see it, that your heart have Christ in your life, and you're living it. You could see it. And here is Peter, when everybody is behind it. He came all over the boat, and he walked on the water. Bible didn't mention that, but I know how Peter act. He probably look at them and say, he look at the disciples and say, I told you guys, I will walk. I told you he was Korean, right? He was walking, right? And then, he saw the wind. He saw the wave. He didn't focus on Jesus. He focused on the things around them. You know what? How do you have a victory in faith? You continue to look at Jesus. You continue to hear what Jesus has to say. When Jesus said, come, that's all you need to hear. That's all you need to do. Act upon what he said. And when you start act upon what he said and follow what he have, follow the things that he said and just look at him, then you'll be okay. But when you start to look at situation around you, then that's when the trouble start to come. But it's okay. Because you know why? Because Jesus is right there. He didn't run away from you. So he start to, what? He saw wind and the wave. He goes like, and then he start to fall in. He goes, And then Jesus said like, come on, you little faith. Why did you look at that? That's incredible about our Lord. Isn't that right? That our Lord does not run away from you. He doesn't run away just because you are in a certain situation that he cannot handle. Yes, he could handle anything. And he'd be right there. And whenever that you are crying out before God, even though you fail a little bit on your faith, even though you didn't look at Jesus all the way through, hey, Jesus said, hey, it's okay. You walked at least. Hey, and he picked him up on the water. And he will start to walk on the water again. Praise God. I know some of you are afraid of failure. I know some of you say, what if I do this, God doesn't come through? What if the situation does not come? I understand. It can be very scary. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a good news for you. Jesus will never fail you. All my years of my following him, he will never fail you. You know what? I failed him. You know what? I missed. I did many things that is not pleasing in his eye. But Jesus never left me, and Jesus never forsaken me. He is always with you. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. You're going to see the storm. You're going to see the wave. Didn't somebody say Christians will never fail or never suffer? They're liars. You will suffer. But you know what? The greatest thing is, in spite of the suffering, Jesus is right there. And he'll pick you up. And he said, hey, I'm here with you. Let's venture together. Let's do this thing together. I will tell you what to do. Guys, I love the life that I live. And I'm looking for the life that when I passed on from here, to see my dad and my mom, but I'm going to see my Jesus. And I know that he have a great plan for me there in eternity. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Come on. Let's live for him in faith and do the things what God wants us to do. This life is too short. This world is too big for you to just stay in this small island. Please, can we do this? Yeah, you could retire here. If you want to, you could even die here. But can we just somehow come out of this island once in a while? Okay? Let's venture out wherever that God wants to go. Amen? And do something what God wants to do and reach out to the people that what God wants to reach out. When you do, you start to see heaven happens on this earth. In your life. Amen? Amen. Can we all stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are. I don't know where. Tom, can you turn some music on? Some kind of music, please? I don't know where you are. But only God knows. God knows where you are. And God loves you. And whatever the pains that you go through, whatever the failure you go through, maybe some of you say, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Some of the young people might say that. I don't know what I'm going to do. What's going to happen to me at high school? I don't know. There's a lot of question mark in my life. But if you have Jesus, He's the answer. And He's going to give you the answer. And He's going to give you the direction. And He's going to touch your heart and your life. And giving you the direction that you never had in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just do this? Can we just touch person next to you right now? Grab someone. Grab someone right now. Hallelujah. Grab someone. And I want you guys to pray for yourself and pray for that person right now. And ask God to touch that person in the name of the Lord. Touch yourself. And God... Give me faith, Lord God. Give me faith. Give me faith. Hallelujah. That I will not sit on this pew. I will not sit on where I am. But God, help me to jump out of that boat. Help me to jump out of this, Lord God, to comfortable place. God, help me to be uncomfortable doing the things that you want me to do. God, can we just pray that prayer? Can we just pray for the people around us? Hallelujah, God. Come on, those of you who could speak in tongue, I want you to do that right now. Come on, bless someone with your speaking in tongue. Come on. God, I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch it, Father God, in the name of the Lord. Oh, God, touch us. Bless us, Lord God. Lord, bless us. We will live our life for you, Father God. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's all lift our hand. Those of you who say, God, I want God to bless me. Lift our hand. Lift our hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you guys. All you guys, lift your hand. I want to pray for you guys. That God will give you the heart of a courageous faith. The heart for you guys to do what God wants you to do. We will not waste our time here on this earth. Because of my comfortableness. But I want to do whatever God wants me to do. We don't have to jump out of the island. But I could do it in my home. I could do it in my street. I could do it in my neighbors. God, I want you to do something to use me, to touch me, Lord God. Can we just do that? Can we agree with me, my prayer right now? Father God, God, I pray for all those people who raised their hand and praying with me right now. And saying that, God, I want to venture with you, Jesus. I don't want to just stay in the boat. But God, I want to get out of the boat. I'm hearing you say, come. And I want to walk with you. I want to do the things that you want me to do, Father God. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Move upon us today, Father God. Holy Ghost, Lord God, touch us, Lord God. Shake us, Father God, today. God, shake us out of the pew. Shake us out of our comfortableness, Father God. But God, help us to be uncomfortable. Help us to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, start praying for the loved ones who's not saved. Praying for the neighbors who need Jesus. Praying for people around us, Father God. And Lord God, that you will use us in such a time as this. God, make us. Make us, Father God, on fire for God again. Make us, Father God, for crazy for Jesus once again. Help us to live for you in a powerful way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Jacob.